Welcome to the Let's Get Vulnerable podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Morgan Anderson, psychologist, relationship coach, attachment theory expert, creator of the ESL relationship method, author of Love Magnet, and athletic wear connoisseur. My mission is to help you raise your self-worth, have great relationships, and step confidently into the next level of your life. Each week, two episodes will air featuring expert advice, live coaching, and tips showing you exactly how to improve your life and attract a healthy relationship. You deserve to feel empowered, secure, and loved. Buckle up and let's get vulnerable. You're so tired of watching all your friends get married and looking at everybody else having healthy, secure relationships, and you're sitting on the sidelines wondering, when will it be my turn? I want to invite you that you can decide to take ownership, that you can say, I'm going to become the version of me who effortlessly attracts my emotionally available ideal partner. And you're going to stop wasting your time on relationships that go nowhere, right? I want to invite you that you can make that decision. And spring is an incredible time to do the work with us inside of the Empowered, Secure, Loved program. This program is founded by myself, Dr. Morgan, clinical psychologist, attachment theory expert. It has helped hundreds of women become securely attached so that they can attract the relationships that they deserve. Now is your turn. And this spring is an incredible time to join us introducing Soft Girl Secure Spring Sale this April only. When you join the program, you get a bonus training that is how to embody secure feminine energy. This is a topic I love talking about, and you'll get this training as a gift. Also, you'll get the Become the One bundle. This is all about becoming the secure version of you. It includes meditations, affirmations, a communication framework. It is so, so valuable. And that's another gift. On top of that, you get a bonus month in the program. So instead of 2 months with us, you'll have 3 whole months where you'll receive support, one-on-one coaching, group coaching, and of course, the coursework, all of that with a bonus month and a $400 discount on the program. So that is a no-brainer. If you've been on the fence, if you've been thinking about doing the work, this is the time. Take advantage of our Soft Girl Secure Spring Sale. This is going away, and I would apply to the program today. Go use the link in the show notes, and it's super easy. You'll fill out an application, meet with someone on my team, and go from there. So it takes 5 minutes, go to the link in the show notes, apply today. I can't wait to see you inside of the program. Hello, hello. It's your host, Dr. Morgan. Today's episode is juicy. It's going to be short and sweet, but it's powerful. I'm going to give you 7 life-changing relationship tips that I wish I had had in my 20s. And I want to be clear that this will help you no matter what age you are. These are 7 things that if you're feeling stuck in your relationships or stuck in your dating life, or maybe you're in a relationship and you're struggling in your current relationship, no matter where you're at, if you are just feeling off in your relationships in any way, these are 7 things that you need to know. So let's dive into it. I'm so excited about this. Number 1. If you are attracted to emotionally unavailable people, you will continue to seek those people out. You will find them anywhere. You can be in a room with 101 people who 100 of them are emotionally available, and there's only one who is emotionally unavailable. And if you are attracted to that emotionally unavailable person, you will seek out that person. You will find them. Even if they're a needle in the haystack in the room that you're in, you will find them. Your nervous system, your relationship blueprint,
your attachment system, all of it is drawn to that emotional unavailability. So what does this mean for us? This means in order to change the relationship experiences that we're having, in order to have a healthy, thriving relationship that lasts, we have to work on changing what we are attracted to. So my younger self really needed to hear this, because I was dating the same guy over and over again, just a different haircut. Okay. I was repeating the same dynamics over and over and over, and I could not see the role that I was playing. So this is some tough love for some of you, that when we really look at it, part of why you are having the relationships that you are is because of who you are attracted to and the types of relationship dynamics you're attracted to. All right, moving on. Number two, your relationship to yourself is so important. Your ability to be self-compassionate, to be kind, to be curious, to be loving towards yourself, to hold space for your emotions and be curious about what you're feeling. Your relationship with yourself is going to set the tone for your relationships with others. You owe it to yourself to really work on that relationship with you. So for me, and maybe a lot of you can relate to this, but for a long time in my life, I was very, very good at ignoring and numbing my emotions. I would distract myself with academic pursuits, getting my doctorate. I would throw myself into work. Even while I was getting my doctorate, I had two jobs. So I would spend, I don't know, 60 to 80 hours a week occupied. And a lot of the time, it just prevented me from even noticing how I was feeling. That's kind of an extreme example, but how many of you can relate to this? You might be the last thing on your to-do list. Checking in with you. How are you really doing? What do you really need? What do you need to process? What do you need to work through? How can you acknowledge the emotions that you have and validate your own emotions? If you are not able to do that for yourself, and if you are beating yourself up, being negative towards yourself, being super critical, you are not going to be able to be emotionally available for someone else in a way that is sustainable. I could go on a whole rabbit hole about how a lot of us, and this was me in the past, will be what is called an over-functioning codependent partner, where you use your partner's issues or whatever they're going through, you use that as a way to distract from your own experiences. So you overfunction for your partner as a way to avoid your own healing. There's a lot of us that have done that, right? And if you do not learn how to tune into you, how to know what's going on with you, how to know what you need, if you don't learn how to do that, then you won't be able to do it for someone else. You just won't. So we think we're emotionally available if we're in that over-functioning role. We think, oh, I'm so emotionally available. I'm so giving. But the reality is, it is not sustainable. If I'm emotionally available in a way that is causing self-abandonment, then I'm not actually emotionally available. And this is what a lot of my anxiously attached people struggle with, is you think, I am so emotionally available. I want to talk about everything and my feelings, and I just want to be in a relationship, and I'm so ready to commit. But here's the reality, is that unconsciously, you might actually be running from your own experience. So there's a lot to consider when it comes to the relationship with ourselves and how it impacts our relationships with others. If I'm not in a good relationship with myself, I can't maintain a healthy, long-term relationship with others. And when I was younger, I would hear this and I would just think, okay, more psychobabble, more, you know, talk about self-love, whatever, go get your nails done. Like, I had no idea what it really meant. And the older I get, the more I realize that relationship with you is foundational for everything in life. Your other relationships, work, family, your relationship with money, your health, anything you want to do in life will be impacted by your relationship with you, which is why I'm so glad inside of the Empowered Secure Love program. That's one of the things we really focus on. The first half of the program is all about your relationship to you. And there's a reason for that. We have to start with us, right? So anyways, that was number two. Sounds like I could do a whole podcast on that, but that was number two. Number three. All right, this is a good one. You have to stop dating your childhood unfinished business. So this is similar to number one, but it's different, where if you are drawn to dynamics that represent dynamics from your past, you have this unconscious wish that this time you could get a different outcome, right? And if I'm drawn to that and I'm pulled into that dynamic over and over, every single time that dynamic doesn't work out, I'm not only grieving the pain of that current relationship, I'm also grieving all the pain of the relationships that were associated with that dynamic. So for example, if I'm going through a breakup with a partner who represented my relationship with my father, who represented past romantic relationships I've experienced, and I'm going through the breakup, I'm not only grieving that breakup, I'm also simultaneously feeling all the pain and hurt from the past dynamics. So if I'm continuing to date that unfinished business and I'm seeking out people who will recreate my childhood dynamics unconsciously, I'm not doing it intentionally, I'm seeking these people out, then you will never enjoy your dating life. And I guarantee you what will happen is at some point you'll just say, wow, this is too painful, I can't do this. And you're going to take these long breaks from dating. You're going to focus on traveling the world and do whatever you want in your career. But then you're going to go, oh my gosh, I really do want a partner. I do want to find my person. And then guess what? You get back in the dating game. You're unconsciously drawn to your childhood business. And the cycle repeats. The cycle repeats. So we have to really intentionally do the work of no longer bringing our childhood wounds, our unfinished business, no longer bringing it to our adult romantic relationships. And that's what I specialize in. And honestly, I feel a little dramatic saying this, but I'm going to be honest with you all. Really understanding that and applying it to my life, I really feel like it saved my life. I know that sounds dramatic, but I'm telling you this, when I was living with disorganized attachment style, and I was dating all of these people where I was continually being abandoned or neglected, or I myself was doing really toxic things in these relationships, right? This disorganized attachment style. When I was in that place, I was hurting so badly. And I don't think many people know, probably only my therapist or the coaches that I ended up working with, I don't think many people would know how badly I was hurting. And I know a lot of you listening can relate to this, where, gosh, when it's a relationship issue and all you want is to be loved and all you want is to build partnership, and it seems like no matter how hard you try, nothing works out, and you're just left feeling so alone and so hurt, and you're sitting in the quote unquote failures of all your past relationships, you can get to a really low place. And I was in that place for a really long time. And of course, that's part of what motivates me now is I know what it's like. And this revelation of learning, oh, I'm dating my childhood unfinished business, and I need to deal with that directly so that I'm no longer bringing it into my dating life. That little huge switch, right? That light bulb moment, really getting that, and not only just getting it intellectually, but actually internalizing it emotionally and allowing my nervous system to realize what I was doing, that switch saved my life. That's why I'm here. And it's why I am so happy to help people, because I know how painful it is when you're doing this in your dating life. Okay, number four, this is a big one. I want you to think about, if you're single or even in a relationship, I want you to think about taking ownership of feeling loved. So many of us, we've done this thing where we've outsourced our self-worth. We've outsourced feeling love, meaning we've given that responsibility to other people. When guess what? You are the only person that can really show up and love you in the way that you need to be loved. So if you're single, if you're in a relationship, I don't care what your relationship status is, I want you to prioritize, how do I feel loved? What does it look like for me to really feel love and receive love? For some of you, this will look like dating yourself, taking yourself out on dates, whatever you want to do, caring for yourself, showing up for yourself. For some of us, this looks like setting boundaries, having hard conversations, removing people from our lives, feeling loved is not all butterflies and rainbows. It's about really knowing yourself and knowing what you need and being brave enough to advocate for it. Being brave enough to go, wow, I'm so worthy of this. I'm going to prioritize me. I am so, so worthy of feeling loved. And one of the biggest shifts for me when I was single was I had to shut down any situationships, any on again, off again relationships, because I realized when these people would pop in and out of my life, they were kind of making me feel like, oh, I'm not really worthy of commitment, or this is somebody who thinks that they can just have access to me when they want to. It really was a form of devaluing myself by allowing these people in my life. And one of the biggest things I did for self-love as a single person is I set really clear boundaries on who had access to me and my energy, friends, and in my dating life and family, etc. I learned how to say, wow, my energy is so valuable, right? So once again, self-love is not all butterflies, rainbows, bubble baths, and get your nails done. Self-love is a lot of things. And you have to realize this. I want you, if you take away one thing from this podcast, I need you to take this away. A relationship is not going to make you feel loved. If you do not feel loved as a single person, a relationship is not going to make you feel loved. A wonderful partnership coming in is simply a multiplier of the love you have for yourself. It will not fill a void. So we have to realize this, that I get to decide if I feel loved. I get to ask myself, what does it look like for me to feel loved? I have to say I'm no longer outsourcing my ability to feel loved. I'm taking ownership of it. And then when you do meet someone, they come along and they multiply the love you have for yourself. How beautiful is that, right? But if I meet someone and, oh my gosh, I'm expecting them to make me feel loved, I'm expecting them to solve my childhood unfinished business, I'm expecting them to finally make me love myself or even like myself, right? It's way too much pressure to put on someone. It's impossible. You're giving them an impossible task. It's completely unfair. So whatever your relationship status is, I need you to take ownership of the love that you have for yourself. Do not place it on other people. Okay. I feel like I got a little preachy on that one, but it's so important. I really want you to take that in. Moving on to point number 5. This is so related, but I love talking about this. I need you to realize this. You are not a Prius. You are a Ferrari. You get to decide that you are worthy of Ferrari maintenance. I'm not talking about $7 lattes at Starbucks. Good Lord. When I was in San Diego, I would go to Parakeet. Shout out Parakeet. Love them. Except, I swear to God, these lattes were like $9. Like, what am I ordering? This adaptogen, spirulina, blue milk latte, whatever. I don't even know. But my goodness, okay. Lattes have gotten out of control. I will continue to just drink my tea and matcha. I'm not even really drinking coffee anymore at home. So, tangent aside, that's not what Ferrari maintenance is. It's not about going and getting a massage or spending a ton of money on your wellness. That's not what I'm talking about. Ferrari maintenance is this: realizing that if you want to operate at a high level, and I'm talking about you going after what it is that you want in your life, whether it's career, relationships, travel, making an impact of some sort, if you want to operate at a high level, you need to treat yourself like a high-powered machine, meaning be very aware of your inputs. Be very, very aware. So this means limiting your trash TV, limiting toxic friendships, the nutrition, the sleep, the media that you consume. All of it is your inputs. Are you in prayer? Do you have some kind of spiritual life? Your inputs. I'm not here to judge what anybody's inputs are. All I know is this: you have to find the inputs that help you perform well. And for me, that also requires having a routine. So if you know anything about maintenance, it doesn't just magically get done. We think about car maintenance, right? It's not like, oh yeah, it just magically happens. No, you have to routinely get your oil changed, get new tires, all the things, right? You have to routinely take care of yourself, and your day-to-day routine as a high-powered machine really matters, and being very, very aware of your inputs. So this will change your relationships, right? Whether it's you're in your dating life or you're in a relationship, wherever you're at, being aware of what you are allowing yourself to take in will have a huge impact. And this also goes for looking for people in your life who have healthy relationships and who have a model of a relationship that you might want. So if I'm really working on healing and I'm really working on having healthy relationships in my life, I want to be around people with healthy relationships in their life. Some of you are really struggling on your healing journey because you're just surrounded by people who are really stuck in toxic relationships, right? Or really unhealthy, subpar relationships, and that's your friend group. What I would advise you to do is find people who have the relationship that you want and surround yourself with them. It's very, very important. That's also part of Ferrari maintenance, is being very aware of who is in your friend group. Who are you surrounding yourself with? So remember, if you want high quality outputs, you need to be aware of what are your inputs. Okay, I'm moving on. Number 6. This is huge. Oh my gosh. If somebody would have tried to explain this to me in my 20s, I don't know how it would have gone over, but I know it would have been helpful. And maybe people tried, but I never got it. So my goal is I'm going to explain this to you in a way where you can really get it. Number 6 is you need to learn the power of pacing a relationship. So when you are in the building stages of a relationship, I want you to think about it as building your dream home. If you were building your dream home, would you just throw down some gravel and start throwing up? Now I can't remember what is it called? The framing. There we go. Start throwing up wood for the framing without pouring a concrete foundation. No, you would not. When you are intentionally building a relationship, you need to build a solid foundation. In order to build a solid foundation, you need to take your time. And something I teach all of my clients and I mentioned on the podcast is learn how to be a love scientist. This is part of relationship pacing, where you're putting on the lab coat, you're getting into your data gathering mode, and you're continually showing up in the connection and asking yourself, is this how I want to feel in my ideal relationship? What are the facts about what has happened? Is this person showing up and genuinely interested in building a connection? Have they flat out told me they don't want anything serious? That's an important piece of data, right? Really, truly slowing down in the beginning stages, gathering the data and reminding yourself that anything worth having is worth building slowly and intentionally. And what happens is when you slow down and you're gathering the data, you're based in reality, you get a sense of, wow, this is who this person really is, without the bias of romantic thinking that is not based in reality, without the bias of fortune telling, of your brain going and filling in all of the dots, right? And imagining your life with this person. You need to get to the place where, instead of being in a future fantasy reality, you are in a current present, and I shouldn't have used the word reality, but you are in a current present reality that's based on facts. So many of us, we get the oxytocin going, and we have that reaction of, oh my gosh, I want to make this work with this person. I finally found my person, right? Some scarcity mindset influences. Maybe there's some timeline pressure. We have all these factors that make us go, ooh, I just want to speed this up. This is my person. I found them. I'm so in. And we get so emotionally invested that we actually can sabotage the relationship, and we can miss really, really important yellow and red flags. So remember, to build slowly is to build something worthwhile. And here's what I know. If a relationship ends and you did relationship pacing, you are going to have a much more peaceful ending than if you went all in too quickly without gathering the data. So relationship pacing also protects you if you were to separate, because you made intentional decisions along the way, right? So slow is fast. Slow is fast. Remember, slow down in those early stages. And I have whole episodes dedicated just to that topic, but it had to make this list of the 7 things that I would definitely tell my younger self. All right, number 7. This is such a powerful one. I want you to think about when you're dating and you're getting clear on the relationship you want. I want you to actually spend some time imagining what it would feel like. I want you to clearly imagine how would you feel in your ideal relationship. And you would want to close your eyes, feel the feelings. And then I would ask you this: what would have to be true about that person in order for you to feel this way? So maybe one of the things I came up with was, I want to feel emotionally safe. I want to feel like I am my authentic self. I can be exactly who I am. And if I feel that in my body and I ask myself, well, what would have to be true? What would have to be true in order to feel that way? Guess what? Open, honest, direct communication, right? That comes up for me. That would have to be true. So imagine how you want to feel and then ask yourself, what would have to be true about this person if I were to feel that way? And then I want you to actually spend time with that vision that you have and with the felt feeling of how you want to feel. I want you to actually spend time with it and just make it so that it's so crystal clear that you can imagine that you have visions of being with your partner and what it feels like and what you're doing and how you're spending your time. Some people would call this manifesting. I call it creating new models for your brain, right? The brain responds to the external environment based on the models that it believes to be true. So when we can really create these new models for you, you're going to react differently to your environment. You're going to seek out different people. You're going to do different things. But it starts with your brain coming up with new models. So I want you to think about that. Number seven, that's probably the most fun thing on this list. And it's also last, because if you don't do the other six things I mentioned, that one's actually not going to have a big impact. So I saved the fun one for last, and it's last for a reason. Let's review these really quick. All right. These were the seven life-changing relationship tips that I would give to my younger self. Okay. Number one, if you are attracted to emotionally unavailable people, you are the common denominator. You need to change that, because otherwise you will just continue to get the same relationship results you've always gotten. Number two, you need to heal the relationship to yourself. If you're ignoring your emotions, if you're self-critical, if you're not responding to yourself in an emotionally available, attuned, validating, loving way, if you're not showing up that way for you, you won't be able to show up that way for others. Okay. Number three, stop dating your childhood unfinished business. And if you're in a relationship right now that reflects childhood dynamics, that means both individuals need to work on themselves as individuals and then also work on the relationship together to try to stop that childhood dynamic, right? So stop dating your childhood unfinished business. It will always end the way that it has ended before. And this is an incredibly painful way to live your life. It has horrible mental health impacts, physical impacts, and it keeps you stuck in your trauma, in fight or flight mode, in a dysregulated nervous system and a dysregulated attachment system. It is not the way to live your life. And obviously seek help, whether it's in a program like ours, the Empowered Secure Love Program. We are pros at helping people to stop doing this, or it's elsewhere. Whatever you do, don't try to do it alone. You won't be able to. There's my tough love. All right. Number four, prioritize feeling loved now. A relationship will not fill a void. It will only be a multiplier of how much you love yourself. Do not outsource your self-love. Number five, Ferrari maintenance. And I kind of went on a tangent on this one. So I think it'd be worth listening to again, but realizing that your inputs really impact your outputs, and you have to be aware of the relationship models you have as well. So Ferrari maintenance. And then number six, learn the power of pacing. Pace your relationships. Anything worth building takes time. Okay. Number seven, I want you to imagine your ideal relationship. How do you want to feel? And then what would have to be true about your partner if you were to feel that way? And get crystal clear on that vision so you can create a new model for your brain. So these are seven life-changing dating tips and relationship tips that I would give my younger self. I want you to share this with someone. If you have somebody in your life that you know could really benefit from this information, make sure you share it with them. Save it. Share it on social. Tag me. I love when you all help me help more people. I am so mission driven. I want to help as many people as possible. So please get this episode out there. Let's help some people. And of course, as always, I am wishing you high self-worth and great relationships. Until next time. Thanks for tuning in. I really appreciate each and every one of you. The best way you can thank me is by sharing this episode on Instagram or Facebook. Make sure you tag me. It would mean the world to me if you took just a moment to leave me a written review on Apple Podcasts. This podcast is not free to produce, and the more that you help this show grow, the more people will be able to help. Until next time, I'm wishing you high self-worth and great relationships. Thank you for being part of this community.